Brian, if I'm missing anything, somebody please tell me tonight.
I think some have already had the laugh this evening. I did not know that Miss Katie was supposed to sing a special for us this morning. So we're looking forward to that next week. But I missed it this morning, just jumped right up, and I didn't know and didn't think a thing about it. See, I thought John had this signal worked out that he would leave the microphone here, but now that was just my assumption that was the signal, and he took the microphone. But what I didn't know is that's what you do when the pianist has the special. So I'm learning. We'll get it all figured out, and we'll all get on the same page one of these days. That's all my fault. But I look forward. I appreciate what God did in our services this morning. Look forward to seeing, continuing to see visitors. That's exciting. I appreciate the many of you I know that are inviting folks. That's a tremendous blessing to me as a pastor to know that you're out there and you're inviting folks and you're faithfully praying for those folks, and we're seeing the fruit of that. So I sure appreciate that. So we're going to begin tonight, if you will, just turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to continue our series on the God-glorifying life. We've already dealt with why it is that our life ought to glorify God. You and I are bought with a price. We're not our own. We're His. And as such, our life ought to bring glory and honor to Him. But we dealt with last week how we can have a God-glorifying, a God-honoring prayer life. And so that was our topic last week. If you didn't get that, I'm sure it'll be available online here shortly. But do get that, and if you weren't able to be here. But tonight what we're going to deal with is this topic of God-glorifying ministry. And when I say that, you may get the thought, well, I'm not in ministry. Oh, yes, you are. If you're a Christian, you're in ministry. God has called you to ministry. So I want you to understand that tonight. This is for everyone. This is not just for those who are on staff. This is not just for the Sunday school teachers, not just for the children's church workers. This is for everybody. Our lives ought to bring glory and honor to Him, and we ought to be ministering to others. So let's all stand. We're going to read just a few verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And this is the Apostle Paul, of course, writing to the church at Corinth here. And we'll begin reading down around verse number 16. Read with me. It says this, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." And this is Paul talking about his ministry and what God has given him in ministry. And I think there's some great lessons we can learn from the Apostle Paul in this short passage of Scripture. So let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you for allowing us to be here again. We just thank you for the good spirit here in the church. And God, we thank you how we can laugh and joke together and just have a good time around the good things of God. And Father, I just pray that you'd allow us to keep that sweet spirit. And Father, just pray that you'll meet with us here tonight. May you use the Word of God to speak to our hearts and challenge us tonight. And we just pray now that you'll be with us, guide our lips. Father, pray that you'd use me as just your instrument tonight. And Father, we pray that you'll receive the glory and the honor for anything that's done. And we ask it now in Christ's name. Amen. And you may be seated. So first of all, I want to start out by saying this. If you're here tonight and you're saved, God has called you to ministry. It's that simple. That's something we need to understand. And I always think of it like this. If God had not planned to use you for something, the moment you got saved, He'd have took you straight on to heaven. But there's a reason that He left us here, because He has something for each and every single one of us, from the youngest to the oldest tonight. He has something for each and every one of us to do. And so everybody here is called to ministry, and that means that you have a call upon your life to use the gifts, the abilities that God has given you to minister to others. And that's all ministry is. It's just ministering to others. You know, we get this idea, and sadly in many churches today it is that way, that the only people that are involved in ministry are the church staff and the Sunday school teachers, and the rest of the church, they kind of just come to enjoy the show. But that's not the way church is supposed to be. Every single individual that's a part of a church ought to have a part of the ministry of that local church. And so we're just going to look at some things tonight, and if we're all called to ministry, we need to understand what it takes for us to minister in such a way that the ministry we have brings glory and honor to God. And there's some very specific things that we find here in this passage of Scripture that will teach us, will help us to learn, because I believe if we look at the Apostle Paul and his life and his ministry, there's no doubt in our mind his ministry brought glory and honor to God. He was probably, in my mind, one of the greatest Christians that ever lived, and one of the greatest servants of the Lord that ever lived, one of the greatest ministers to ever walk the earth. And so we can learn a lot from the Apostle Paul. But I want us to look now, let's begin in verse number 16. And this is what Paul says. He says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of." And notice what he says. He says, "For necessity is laid upon me. Yet woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." And this really is the primary thing, and this is, everything else hinges upon this. The fact is, our ministry, no matter what it is, I don't care if you're a Sunday school teacher, you're a children's church worker, you're driving a van route, you're just sitting in the nursery with some children, you're greeting someone at the door, whatever your ministry is, it needs to be gospel-centered. Everything we do is to point men and women to Jesus Christ. That's what everything hinges upon. And so that's where we start tonight. Is Paul says, I believe that though I preach the gospel, he says, I have nothing to glory of. He says, necessity is laid upon me. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And I believe that's true in our ministry. As we minister to others, woe unto us if we minister to others and we fail to include the gospel. Because you and I, we can go out and we can meet every physical need, we can counsel and we can give advice and we can share Scripture, but if we don't give the gospel, we failed in our ministry. That's the key to all ministry. Now, ministry should go beyond the gospel. We're not just about giving the gospel. We need to give the gospel first and foremost, but beyond that, we also need to teach and help people to get founded and grounded upon the Word of God and help them to learn the Scriptures. And so that's our call, but the fact is, all of our ministry needs to be gospel-centered, gospel-focused. That needs to be the very key. You know, I think it was Spurgeon that once said, it's a shame for a preacher to stand and preach the Word of God and not at least somewhere include the message of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Friend, you never know who it is that's listening. We can sit in our Sunday school class and we can look around and say, well, if I had to guess this morning, I'd say everybody in my Sunday school class is saved. But you and I don't know, because we can't see the inside. We can't see the heart like God sees the heart. And you and I, we never know. I can't tell you the times that I've been surprised to see someone come forward down the aisle all along thinking they were saved. I remember for me, the moment when I came down the aisle, there was probably some folks who were surprised. But friend, that's what the key to ministry. Spurgeon put it like this. He said, "We're not called to proclaim philosophy and metaphysics, but the simple gospel. Man's fall, his need of a new birth, forgiveness through atonement and salvation as the result of faith. These are our battle axe and weapons of war." That's what our ministry ought to hinge upon. It ought to all be focused around, ought to all be centered upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. But that's our first point tonight, but I want us to move from there so that we understand now what is, as we minister to folks, as we give the gospel, as we help folks to become grounded in their faith, as we minister to them in their times of need, what else is it? What else is it that's important in order for us to minister in a way that brings glory and honor to God? Look at the very next verse here. In verse number 17, Paul says this. We've just heard him say that his goal is to preach the gospel, and he believes that's necessary. But then he says, "For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." And so the next thing I find is this, that ministry that brings glory and honor to God is a ministry that's done willingly. It's done with a willing heart. We see this in every area of ministry. We think about how the Scripture talks about how we're to give and to give with a joyful heart and to give the right way. But the same is true as we give of our time, as we give of our efforts, as we minister to others. It needs to be a willing thing. How many times we see in churches, and this is the mindset, well, somebody's got to do it, so I'll do it. Friend, if that's why you're in ministry today, if that's what is motivating you in the ministry that you're a part of, may I ask you tonight, will you please step aside and let somebody else do it? Ministry needs to be a willing thing. It needs to come from a willing heart, a heart willing to give of that effort, of that time, of that energy, of all that's necessary in order for you to fulfill that ministry the right way. It needs to be done willingly. Friend, that's when we receive the reward of our efforts, is when we do it with a willing heart. So ministry not only needs to be gospel-centered, but it needs to be done willingly. I think about this statement, and probably many of you have heard it, and they say, if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life. Hey, the same is true in ministry. If you come to church on Sunday morning and you come to church with dread and that discouragement in your heart, thinking, well, I can't believe I've got to teach Sunday school again. Hey, that's not it. You need to step aside and let someone else do that ministry. It's time for you to find something else. Find a place of service. Find a place of ministry where that you can enjoy what you do and you can look forward to it and you can be excited about it. You know, when we work youth camps and things like that, one of the things they always tell you at the orientation is if you're excited, they'll be excited. And the same's true in every area of ministry. If you're teaching a Sunday school class, let me tell you, those kids can tell if you enjoy what you're doing. They know if you're doing it of a willing heart or if you're doing it because somebody's got to do it. They can see right through it and they understand that. And friend, let me tell you, they'll be a lot more receptive if they can see that you love what you're doing, that you truly care about those children, those boys and girls, those men and women that you're teaching. So it needs to be done willingly. That's what Paul tells us there. If I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Well, now this next part is vitally important. Look with me at these next several verses from verse 19 down through verse 22. Some of my favorite verses in Scripture, because Paul's just talking about here how he did ministry with a servant's heart. That's the next key we find. Not only does ministry need to be gospel-centered if it's to bring glory and honor to God, not only does it need to be done of a willing heart, but it needs to be done with the heart of a servant. Look with me in verse number 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And then he goes on to talk about, for the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. And here's the closing statement to those phrases. He says this, I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And I think that's a great goal for us to set, is to come and as we minister to others, to come to that ministry with a servant's heart, having a desire to serve with gladness, to serve with a willing heart, to serve in such a way that we want to make ourselves a servant, as Paul said, unto all men. Friend, we need to come into this thing, and as we minister, we need to not make sure that we're not doing ministry to make a name for ourselves, so that we can say, look what I've accomplished. That's not the way to do ministry. Ministry is about serving. Even the Lord Jesus Christ Himself said, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Friend, that's what He's called you and I to. We need to have a servant's heart. And I want to carry this a little further, because we see here that Paul had this mindset of relating to whomever it was that he dealt with. And he purposed in his heart, it didn't matter who it was that he was ministering to, he was going to be a servant to them. And he was going to relate to them on a personal level. Friend, I want to tell you this evening, that's something that's vitally important, and it's something that not very many churches are successful at. And what happens often is this, is we have a way and we have an area, a comfort zone that we're comfortable ministering to this type of people, this class of people. Whatever it is that delineates between those people, those groups, those, whether it be the social class, whether it be race, whether it be a number of different things we could look at tonight, but there's that comfort zone for many churches that these are the type of people we want to work with. These are the type of people we want to serve. But friend, that's not what God's called us to. Paul said, I'm made a servant unto all men. So let me tell you, as you minister, I hope that you'll minister in such a way that it does not matter who it is that you're ministering to. You don't minister any differently to that child that comes in off the bus route and doesn't look like they've bathed in a day or two, or to that person that's faithfully in church every single Sunday and they're clean cut and they look like they belong. I hope that as you minister to that those different groups of people that you'll minister in the same way, and it's with a servant's heart. Friend, there's nothing greater for one of those children that comes in than to know you love them enough to serve them. And I love the fact that we have a little bit of something for breakfast for the kids when they come in. I love the fact that, I'll tell you, I've already made it a point that on Sunday mornings when I take my kids back there, I'm going to go around and I'm going to meet every single kid that's there. And I don't care if they came off the van route, if they came with a family, it doesn't matter to me. I want to meet all those kids and let them know I care about them. Let them know I love them. Friend, that ought to be every one of our mindsets. As we minister, let us minister in such a way that with that servant's heart, like the Apostle Paul had, being willing to put ourselves in their shoes. That's what serving looks like, is we put ourselves in their shoes and think, what would I want somebody to do for me if I was in their shoes? Friend, that's what a servant does. We serve out of a servant's heart and we minister from that servant's heart. And that's what the Apostle Paul did. He came into the ministry and you'll notice the Apostle Paul did not treat anybody any differently. It didn't matter the social class, whether Paul was talking to kings or whether he was talking to the poor in the prison. He gave them the same message and he served them just the same. He was determined to be a servant. Didn't matter where he found himself. Didn't matter amongst what group of people he found himself. Didn't matter the class of people. He was determined to have a servant's heart as he ministered to people. And you and I, if we're to bring glory and honor to God, that's exactly what we need to do. We know from Scripture that the Bible teaches that God is no respecter of persons. Friend, I don't care who it is that walks through these doors on a Sunday morning, on a Sunday evening, on a Wednesday night, you love them just like they're a part of us. You love them. Doesn't matter what they look like. Doesn't matter if they look like you and I. Doesn't matter if they talk like you and I. Doesn't matter any of those things. What matters is that you and I come to them as a servant with a desire to be a blessing to them, with a desire to do anything we can to point them to Christ and to help them to grow in their faith and their walk with the Lord. That's what ministry is all about. And I'll tell you, if you'll do that, you'll begin to see the fruit of your efforts. If you minister to only that one class of people, that only that one group of people, you know what you've just done? You've limited what God can do. But if we'll just open up and say, it doesn't matter. You know, I'm excited, and I always tell people like this, you know, there's this mindset in our culture and in many churches today, come as you are. And I think that's great. I'm on board with that. But my goal is this, they don't leave as they came. Friend, that's what it's all about. It doesn't matter how they are when they come walking in the doors, what their dress is, what they look like, how they talk, all those things don't matter. But our goal is just to minister to them with a servant's heart. So friend, that's what the Apostle Paul is teaching us here. He says, I made all things to all men. And here's what it says, that I might by all means save some. He says, look, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get down wherever that person is, wherever they find themselves today. I'm going to get down where they're at, and I'm going to do my best to minister to them so that I can point them to Jesus Christ. Isn't that what our Savior did as He walked this earth? We think about the various classes of people, the various people that He ministered to. And I'll tell you this, if churches are guilty of anything, what happens often is we see the family that comes in and they look like us and they talk like us. And maybe we want to love on that family because we think, hey, there's another one. We can make them a part of the church. We can get them in. They can serve alongside us. And hey, we ought to minister to them. We ought to love them. But then the sad thing is on the other side of that, we see somebody come in that they just need help. They're not in a position they're ready to minister to somebody else. They just need help. They need someone to minister to them. And a lot of times we neglect those people to our shame. Friend, if anybody needs it, it's those people. The missionary that walks through our door, I'll tell you this, we ought to love those missionaries. We ought to be a blessing to them to the very best of our ability. But don't do that to the neglect of the one that comes in that has a great need, who just needs to be ministered to. Friend, don't treat either one differently. Let's just love anybody that walks through those doors and have a servant's heart towards them. That's what God's called us to do. So not only do we need to have a ministry that's gospel-centered if we're to glorify God in our ministry, not only do we need to do ministry with a willing heart and with a servant's heart, but now notice the next thing here in verse number 24. He says in verse 23, "And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you." But now he says in verse number 24, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth a prize? So run that ye may obtain." And the thing I gather from this, and really what's being said, is this, that you don't start out a race without intending to reach the finish line. And I see just in that the faithfulness. Friend, when you begin in ministry, I hope that you have a desire to see it through. Friend, I can't tell you how many times I've seen the disappointed look on the face of a child who rode our buses or who was a part of some of our ministries, and somebody got in that ministry and they stepped in and then they decided it wasn't for them and they laid it aside and they quit. And then the next week I'm the one that's there and has got to explain, well, they're not going to be here anymore. They're not going to be serving you anymore. They're not going to be involved in this ministry anymore. And watch kids with that disappointed look on their face. I thought they cared. Hey, this is about commitment. When you begin a ministry, I hope you have a desire to see it through. I hope that as you begin to teach a Sunday school class, your intention is to teach that class until God would call you to a different position, a different place, a different area of ministry. I hope that if you run a van route, I hope that your desire is to be committed to running that van route and ministering to those children until God calls you somewhere else. Friend, that's got to be our desire. You know, when I sat down with the men here at the church, they asked me about those types of questions, and I told them just like this, that I'm here until God calls me somewhere else. And I feel like this may be a lifetime of ministry. So, hey, but I'm going to tell you this, I'm not going anywhere. I don't care the results, what's happening. Hey, this is where God's placed me, and this is where I'm going to be. And I hope that's your mindset in your ministry. Hey, it's hard sometimes because ministries like this, there's ups and there's downs in ministry. Doesn't matter what ministry you're in, there will be ups and there'll be downs, there'll be mountaintops of victory when you watch and God blesses. I think about the teen ministry. We started there in Rogers, Arkansas, and we began to have that, and there for the first probably almost a year, we had no greater than 15 kids. And I'd come to a place where I'd gotten pretty discouraged. I said, I don't know if God's really going to do anything with this. And I came to the place where I just about gave it up. But hey, that's to my shame. But God pointed me to a verse of Scripture and He says, you're not doing this for men. That verse of Scripture that says you serve the Lord Christ. Hey, what you're doing in ministry, though you're serving others, you're doing that ministry hopefully with this mindset, because it's through that ministering to others that you minister to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's through that you serve Jesus Christ. It's through ministering to others. We read in Scripture how that He said that even not just a simple glass of water would not go unnoticed if we do it in His name. So friend, any ministry that you do, through that ministry, as you serve others, you are serving directly the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's be committed to that ministry. Let's be faithful in our area of ministry. Don't let it be that when you take a Sunday school class or you sign up for children's church work or you run a van route that somebody's going to have to look on Sunday morning and say, where's so-and-so this morning? They're supposed to be in children's church. And then someone else has to step in who's unprepared. Friend, don't let it be that way. Be committed to your ministry. Friend, doesn't matter what that ministry is. I think about even for Brother John and music ministry, just that commitment to be there faithfully as every opportunity. And unless he has to be out of town, he's here and he's faithfully serving in that area of music ministry. Hey, it doesn't matter what your ministry is. Hey, even just something as simple as the nursery, we're thinking, oh, well, they won't miss me if I'm not there for my turn on the nursery schedule. But hey, notice somebody was counting on you. Hey, it's as you minister, just watching those little children in the midst of a service, you're serving Jesus Christ. Let's be faithful to Him. Let's be committed to Him. Let's be committed to our area of ministry. That's what Paul's talking about. You don't run that race and not try to reach the finish line. Friend, that's what God intends in every area of ministry. God wants us to get in on the race and then see it through to the finish line. Friend, there may come a time when you can't any longer teach your class or when you can't any longer do children's church, but until that time comes, faithfully serve and be committed to that ministry.
And I'll tell you, as we look in the future and we're beginning getting close to where we're going to start the FBI ministry, there's no greater place than I believe than these vans and bus routes and things along those lines where commitment is a key. Friend, that's why so many churches don't want to run vans. They don't want to run buses. They can't find somebody that's willing to commit every time, every week of their life to running those van routes. Believe me, it's not an easy thing. I've run a lot of vans and bus routes. And it's difficult. But also know this, it's worthwhile. I can look there in Rogers, Arkansas and see no less than two or three entire families who are now a part of Colonial Baptist Church because of the vans and the buses. Friends, God can use every area of ministry, but we need to be committed. This thing of ministry is not an instant result. You know, that's where our society has come to today is we want to see, as soon as I begin a ministry, I want to start seeing folks saved. I want to see lives being changed. I want to see those things. But what you need to understand is it takes commitment. It's not going to happen the first week or maybe even the second week or maybe even the first year or the second year. But if you'll be committed, if you'll be faithful, God will bring the reward. And let me tell you tonight, that's all that God asked for. He talks about the stewards. Let's turn over to that passage of Scripture. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, so just a few pages back. He talks about, let a man so account of us in verse number 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. That's what you and I are. We're the ministers of Christ. We're stewards of the mysteries of God. We carry the Word of God to a lost and dying world. That's what God's called us to do. But then he says, moreover, it is required in stewards. Here's the requirement for ministry. Let a man be found faithful. Faithful. Committed to ministry. And friend, when I say committed to ministry, I don't mean that you just show up every Sunday. That's great and that's important. But also know this, that if you show up and you haven't prepared, you haven't labored, you haven't studied the Word of God and prepared, friend, you're not really committed. Being committed to ministry means putting in the time, the work, the effort, the preparation that it takes to see God work. Friend, that's vitally important. I think about the first time I ever had the opportunity there in Mountain City, Tennessee to go to that little youth academy. And I thought, well, this is easy. It's just kids. I mean, who can't teach the Bible to kids? I'll just read them a Bible story, tell them a little about it, and we'll be done. What was I in for an awakening? It's not that easy. And I learned very quickly, hey, if I'm not going to prepare, I might as well stay at home. I'm wasting their time and my time if I'm not going to be committed to preparation for this area of ministry. And friend, the same is true for you and I, no matter what our area of ministry. If we're not willing to put in the time and the effort and to labor and to study and to pray, then our ministry is for naught. There's no reason. It's a waste of our time and of their time, the ones whom we're ministering to. So friend, we've got to not only be committed just to show up. Hey, I hope you'll do that. But we need to be committed to the right kind of preparation. Making ready for that ministry, to be willing to serve and to be willing to come with a servant's heart, but to be willing to stay committed, even when times are not so good, even when we're not seeing the results that we'd hope for. Because I told you about that teen ministry, and just about the time I was ready to give it up. You could ask my wife, we had the conversation a couple of times, and I was in tears a couple of times. I said, I just don't know if this is working. But God didn't give me liberty to leave it, to quit. And so we continued on, and it wasn't very long after that. We jumped from 15 to 18. And then another week or two, we were over 20. And then another week or two, and we were seeing 30. And then it wasn't very long after that, maybe a few months later, when we were averaging between 30 and 40 children on every Friday night. But it didn't happen the first year. It took well over a year and a half before we began to see those results. And I'll be honest with you, we really didn't see a lot of results in that first year and a half. I don't know that we saw a single person saved. I don't know that we saw a tremendous change in some lives. And there may have been, I may be forgetting some of those things, but I know that eventually God began to bring in the fruit. But it's because we stayed committed. And friend, that's what we've got to do in ministry. We've got to stay committed to our ministry, whatever that ministry is. But I want to give you this one last thing, because this is vitally important. Turn back with me over there to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. I want to read you these last few verses in the chapter because I think as we minister, this is vitally important. So Paul told us there in verse 24, know ye Not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. So let's purpose to reach the finish line in our area of ministry. But then in verse 25 down through verse number 27, listen to the warning and the caution that he gives us. He says, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate. That means self-controlled in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. As we look at that, we can think about those athletes that run in the race, and what do? They train and they commit themselves to this cause of trying to reach the finish line, trying to win the race, and they control everything about their life. They'll only intake a certain type of food. They exercise consistently and faithfully. They're committed to that training, and they're going to do whatever it takes to keep their body in the shape that it needs to be in order to run the race successfully. Friend, the same is true for us in ministry. Let's read the rest of what Paul's talking about. So he says, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. They do it just to get that trophy, to get that prize, but you and I do it for something much higher. What we're talking about here for us is going to yield eternal rewards. And then it says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But this is a verse that I've always committed to memory, is verse number 27. He says this, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Friend, not only do we need to do a ministry that's gospel-centered, not only does it need to be done with a willing heart, with a servant's heart, it needs to be done with commitment. But it needs to be done with self-awareness. Friend, too many times what happens is this. We get so carried away and we get so busy with ministry. And preachers are the worst. We get busy in ministry and all of a sudden we've neglected our own relationship with the Lord. And we're certainly in no place to minister to others. And friend, that's what happens, and that's why so many end up out of the ministry. Whether that means a Sunday school teacher, whether that means a children's church worker, whether that means someone that was running a bus route, or that means the preacher that's preaching from the pulpit. There are many that have dropped out of the ministry because they got so busy in ministry they forgot, I've got this relationship with Jesus Christ that I need to maintain first. If I'm going to be able to minister to others, I've got to maintain my relationship with the Lord. That's what Paul's talking about here. He says, I've got to be self-aware. I've got to ensure that though I'm getting involved in ministry and though I'm serving others, I've got to maintain my own walk with the Lord first. Friend, that's vitally important. The devil, he's a wily one. He's very sneaky in how that he would cause us to fall and cause us to make shipwreck in our lives and to be a castaway, as Paul talks about. And you know that he can even use ministry to do it. He can cause us to get so caught up with the work and the busyness of ministry that we forget to maintain our personal walk with the Lord. Friend, that's vitally important. If we're going to be successful as we minister to others, and we're going to minister in such a way that brings glory and honor to God, we've got to maintain our own relationship with the Lord. Don't think that there's ever a position where you get and you've made it. You've arrived. Friend, as long as you're in ministry, as long as you're here on this earth, in fact, there's still growth to be had. I studied out once the life of the Apostle Paul, and after the Apostle Paul had been a Christian for somewhere around 25 to 30 years, this is what the Apostle Paul said, I count not that I've attained. He says, there's still some growing to do. He says, I've still not reached the pinnacle of this Christian life. There's still a lot I have to learn. And even at the end, nearing the end of his life, Paul knew there was still growth that needed to be had. God wasn't finished with him. So friend, we need to be careful about that. As we begin to minister, we need to watch our own life and be cautious that we don't allow ministry to draw us away from the Lord. Friend, I'll tell you, the most successful ministries are those that come from that person who has a close, personal, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, they pray faithfully, they study the Bible. And they're not studying. You know, what can happen is this, and it's very easy from my standpoint especially, what can happen is this, that I study the Bible, but I'm always studying on what I'm going to give to you. And I'm not studying on what God's trying to give to me. Friend, we've got to be very careful as we study and we have a desire to minister to others that we're not just studying and thinking about what we can apply to others, what we can give to somebody else, but we need to be careful to recognize what it is that God's trying to say to you. Friend, that's why we've got to maintain that personal walk with Jesus Christ. Let me give you a couple of verses of Scripture. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Here's what the Bible says. A familiar verse that says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." You and I, our desire ought to be for restoration for that one that's fallen away, that one whose life is broken, that one who maybe is backslidden, has been out of church, and we ought to have a desire to restore them. But it says, "Ye which are spiritual." Friend, that means the one that has the right relationship to Jesus Christ themselves, who's been walking with the Lord. Let me tell you, when we try to minister and we've not personally maintained our relationship with the Lord, it's very easy for us to fail in ministry. We'll say the wrong thing. We'll do the wrong thing. We'll be offensive in the way that we approach things. But when we remain in a close, intimate fellowship with Jesus Christ, friend, it's Him that works through us. Any ministry we try to do on our own is going to fail. It's destined to fail. I've seen it too many times, and I know from personal experience. Friend, there's been times I've tried to teach a Sunday school class on my own without the blessing of God because I hadn't spent the time alone that I need to spend with the Lord. There's been times I've stood behind a pulpit and tried to preach the Word of God and tried to minister to others when my heart wasn't right. And friend, I'll tell you, without fail, it was a failure. And so we need to be careful of that. So it says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness." And then he also throws in there, he says, "Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." We've always got to keep our guard up. We've got to be cautious as we minister to others. Paul had a way of getting down right where those people live, but he also knew that he had to be cautious and guard himself against being partaker of other men's sins. And he guarded himself. He would get down there where the sinner lived and minister to them, but he was sure to try and do his very best to keep himself unspotted by the world. Friend, that's what we've got to do as we minister to others. We can't neglect to minister. There's this thing that's especially prevalent in independent Baptist churches that we isolate ourselves from the world. Friend, that's not what God's called us to do. If we never get down there where a sinner lives, if we never go into the neighborhoods where we know is the rough area of town, if we never go into those places where we know the drunkards are and those things. Now, I'm not telling you this evening to go to the bar, but friend, if you knock on their house and they've got a beer in their hand, don't run. Do your best to minister to them. Now, don't go and sit down and have a drink with them. But do your best to point them to Christ. Friend, He's the answer. They're trying to find the answer in that beer can, or they're trying to find that answer in the drugs they're hooked on, or they're trying to find that answer in the wealth they're trying to accumulate, or whatever it is, they're trying to find the answer. And you and I have the answer. So friend, we've been called to go. We cannot isolate ourselves from the world. But we do need to insulate ourselves from the world. We need to guard against being involved in those things. We need to be sure that as we go down and try to minister to where they're at. Friend, I don't find anywhere in Scripture where God commanded the lost man to come to church. But I find all throughout Scripture where God tells those of us who are saved to go out and to get them and bring them in. To go and carry the gospel to them. Friend, that's what God's called us to do. But as we do that, let's guard our own selves against being, because that very well could be you and I. We look around and probably every one of us could think in our minds tonight of someone who's fallen, someone who's no longer in church, someone who's left the ministry, and we think about how could it happen to them. Friend, it's just the grace of God that it's not me and that it's not you. But I'll tell you what's going to guard against that is if we'll maintain our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I think of another passage of Scripture over in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 5, another familiar passage of Scripture. But Jesus is talking and He says, "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Friend, again, we see the necessity of making sure we're right with God first. We cannot minister in such a way that's going to bring glory and honor to God. I'll tell you this, if my heart is not right with God, I ought never to step foot behind this pulpit. Now, does that mean I'm going to be perfect? Certainly not. But I'm going to do my best to maintain my relationship with the Lord and to make sure that before I stand and I step behind this pulpit, that I've talked to God and I've met with Him and I've made sure that my heart is right with Him and that our relationship is on good terms. Friend, that's vitally important as you come and minister next Sunday or on Wednesday evening as you get involved in your place of ministry. Or maybe it's on Monday as you go into the workplace and you try to minister to someone there. It's vitally important that you make sure that your heart is right. That your relationship with the Lord is what it ought to be. That you're purposing to continue to grow and to study and to learn from the Lord. And that you're doing your very best to make sure that you're prepared to minister. Friend, that's the type of ministry that brings glory and honor to God. So I hope tonight it's been a help. I hope that as we minister, we'll have a desire to do these things. I hope we'll have a desire to center all of our ministry. Friend, I'll tell you this, there ought not to be a ministry at the High Plains Baptist Church that isn't preaching and teaching the gospel. Every ministry, I don't care if it's our soul winning, if it's our van routes, if it's our Sunday school, if it's the children's church, I don't care what it is, every ministry ought to be combining together to try to give the gospel. Why is that? Because, hey, most folks don't get it the first time. So if they'll get the gospel in your Sunday school class, then they'll go to children's church and they'll hear the gospel there. And then maybe they graduate out of children's church and they come in here in the main service and they hear the gospel. Sooner or later, God's going to work. And hopefully, by God's grace, they'll respond. So friend, that's our desire as we focus all of our ministries around the gospel. But then I hope also it'll be done willingly. With a willing heart. Don't do ministry out of duty. Hey, don't even desire to get involved in ministry until you can do it out of a willing heart. And I hope whatever you're involved in, you're not doing it just because someone has to do it. Because, hey, that's not what God desires. God wants us to do it of a willing heart. God wants us to do it with a servant's heart to all men, equally. And then God wants us to be committed to it, all the while maintaining our personal walk with the Lord. So I hope you'll have a desire to do that in order that the ministry you're involved in can bring glory and honor to God. And friend, I'm convinced that if we'll do these things and if we'll do ministry this way, we'll see results. Not because you and I are anything, but because God's faithful. And He rewards those who do things His way. And if we're doing ministry in such a way to bring glory and honor to God, I believe God will bring the rewards. I believe God will bring the fruit. So let's all stand our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed, and we'll have just a moment of invitation.